Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from John chapter 17. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. This is the text. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. When my girls were younger, it was a challenge most days after school to get them to focus on and remember the good things that happened during the school day rather than the bad. Thankfully, it's no longer true, but oh, there was much, you know, rolling of the eyes when I would tell them how important it is to always look for that which is good rather than focus on the negative, dwelling on the bad. At one point, I remember establishing a rule. They couldn't tell me any bad thing that happened at school until they told me four good things. It didn't always work, but the motivation was there. And see the fruits of that, I'd like to think. But it's just so easy to find fault and not appreciate the good. You may have heard me tell this story before. I know I have in certain venues, but this was before I came here to Quincy. I went to the Good Shepherd Institute at Concordia Seminary in Fort Wayne, and it was this conference they hold each year in November. And one of the great parts of this theological conference is the what is called the Service of Scripture in Hymns. It is a magnificent event there in the chapel in Fort Wayne, which has fantastic acoustics, a wonderful pipe organ, and the congregation throughout the service, which was mostly pastors with, you know, you can imagine the sound that was there, singing numerous hymns, and then there would be scripture readings and commentary concerning the various songs that were the hymns that were sung or the songs that were played on the pipe organ. And as pre-service music, there was a mini concert by this renowned musician from Concordia River Forest. I forget his name, but he's considered like the best, or one of the best, if not the best, organist in all of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And he performed several pieces. And of course, he chose some of the hardest, most challenging, you know, yet beautiful musical selections. And I was sitting there next to Linda, who is a very good friend of mine, a wife of one of my classmates, a dear friend of ours. I'm godfather to one of her children. She also is a very accomplished musician. And on my other side was the music director of another church where another one of my classmates was pastor. And we're sitting there listening to this organist play this most magnificent music. And I look down and I see my friend Linda holding up three fingers. And I asked her, "What are you doing?" She was counting the mistakes that the organist had made. So I lean over and to the other music director there and tell her what Linda's doing, and she's holding up four fingers. Linda leans over around me and goes, "Did I miss one?" And at that very moment, both of them went, "Five." I sat there and I couldn't believe that these two lovers of music who knew this music by heart, and they knew exactly what was going to be played. I didn't hear any mistakes. It was fantastic. But I can't think that they were getting the joy out of it that I was hearing. Rather than focusing on the beauty of the music and the skill of the musician, they spent their evening looking for anything that was wrong, rather than rejoicing in the privilege of hearing what I heard. Finding fault is always so much easier than searching out the good. If you spend your life looking for faults in other people, I guarantee that you will find them. Because every person you come in contact with is a sinful, fallible, just fault-filled individual. Yet listen to what Jesus says about his disciples. He's praying to his Father there in the upper room as he is hours away from being arrested in Gethsemane. And he says, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." These are the same disciples who had, over the past days, been arguing amongst one another which of them were the greatest and who would have the highest positions in Christ's kingdom when he established his throne there in Jerusalem. Jesus is here talking in the upper room. So these are the same disciples who Jesus knows in a matter of hours will abandon him, even deny knowing him. He tells Peter there in the upper room, "You're going to do it three times before the rooster crows." And yes, this is the same Peter who Jesus had earlier said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." But when Christ looks at them, because their faith was credited to them as righteousness, the only accurate description was that they were keepers of the word. When God looks at you, and when God looks at me, it would be very easy for him to find fault. But God has chosen a different path. He chooses to declare you to be not guilty. He chooses to declare you to be keepers of his word. He chooses to count your faults and come up with the number zero. And it is God's desire for his people to follow his lead. When we spend our time only looking for or listening for what we think is wrong, we totally miss out on the beauty and the joy of the good that God has given us. And he has given us so much good. For example, we are in between Mother's Day and Father's Day. My guess is that whatever celebration you had for Mother's Day or will have for Father's Day will involve or did involve, you know, greeting cards with warm sentiments, maybe flowers, a nice dinner, something along those lines. We spend those days rejoicing that God has blessed us with mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, and life from them. None of us had a mother or a father who was without fault. I know that in my home that there is often some deserved rolling of the eyes on my account for things I maybe say or do. There are no perfect fathers. There are no perfect mothers. Yet on Mother's Day, love, kindness, respect was shown to them. This year, in our house, Juliana, I came home from church, and Juliana was making omelets for all of us and wouldn't let Melinda do any of the work. She planned out an entire day devoted to her mom. We watched home movies. It was a marvelous day. I'm quite sure that when Father's Day rolls around, none of you will send a greeting card which will list out all of the things that your father did that was wrong. As my family was here last night, I said I should not plant such seeds in the minds of others. But no one would consider doing that, because out of love, we forgive. And as Luther says in his large catechism, says young people must therefore have it impressed upon them that they should look up to their parents as representatives of God and bear in mind that however humble, poor, infirm, or eccentric they may be, our father and mother are nevertheless God's gifts to us. And it is with that spirit that we are to greet this day and every day in regard to certainly our parents, but it extends beyond that. You know, we look at how we treat our mothers on Mother's Day and our fathers on Father's Day. And to follow Christ's example, overlooking the faults of very fault-filled people, looking past the faults and eccentricities of those around us, we look at how God deals with us. He looks at your sin and mine and counts zero. It is with that spirit that we are to look at all of those whom God has placed in our path, especially those closest to us, and certainly our brothers and sisters in the faith. As the children of God, who we are is defined by the forgiveness of sin. If God does not overlook or forgive your faults and failures, you have no hope. You would have no place in His kingdom. As the psalmist says, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sin, O Lord, who could stand? If God sat on high and, like my musician friends, counted each mistake that you made, you would be cast into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, as Jesus describes the eternity of hell. But the psalmist goes on to say, but with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. God's record of sin held against you is zero. If you desire to find fault in others, you will certainly find it. It's easy. If your hope is to follow Christ's example, you can look to all of your neighbors and see them as people who God loves dearly. And you can look at your brothers and sisters in the faith and see them as His disciples, whom He has declared to be keepers of His word. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.